You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
All right, Psalm 46:1. Let's go to Psalm 46:1, and then we're going to Proverbs 14:26. Again, thank God for each and every one of you. Thank God for our guests and visitors as well. Notice Psalm 46:1, and then we're going to travel to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and notice verse number 26. Thank you, musicians. Psalm 46:1 is where we're going to begin. Psalm 46:1. It's where we're going to begin, and then we're going to flip over and read Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and verse number 26. Notice Psalms 46:1. Notice what the psalmist says. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. Notice that God being our refuge, God being our strength, makes him our present help in times of trouble. God is, I love it because God is never trying to be anything. God is who he has declared he is. And no one can change God from being who he has revealed himself to be. How do I know who God is to me? Well, he reveals himself to us through the scripture. He tells us exactly who he is. He tells us even his relationship in reference to his people. Notice in Psalm 46:1, he's praying when he said God is. Now watch the wording carefully. The psalmist said God is our refuge. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our present help in time of what? Trouble. Pastor, why are you saying it like that? Because God is not everyone's refuge. God is not everyone's strength. He is not present help in time of trouble for everybody. Did y'all notice that? Did y'all notice that? God is our refuge. Notice how the psalmist makes it personal. See, God is not a refuge for everybody, but he is a refuge for his people. I said he is a refuge for his people. Some of you know that. Some of you know that he has taught you, he has learned you, he has educated you. Come on, somebody. Through what you have gone through, God has taught you that he's your refuge. Woo! When your job played out, God let you know in a hurry, look, I don't play out like jobs play out. Come on. He is your refuge. Look at somebody real quick if it be true and tell him, and he taught me that over the years. Are y'all serious? Did God teach you that over the year? Has God taught anybody that he can take care of you? Has God taught anybody that he can take care of you? So he taught us, he learned us, he educated us. And sometimes it was in our darkest hour, naturally speaking, that he had to teach us, look, I'm your refuge. People were threatening to do things to us, but he said, listen, I'm your refuge. Notice Proverbs 14 and verse 26. Notice Proverbs 14 verse 26. Notice what the proverb writer says in Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Here it is again, making this personal. And his children, oh, for you say his children. Knew that'll wake some of you up. His children. Anybody got any kinfolk that say children? They still say children. his children will have a place of refuge. Everybody's not going to have a place of refuge. But God said, when it comes to my children, they're going to have a place of refuge. Why are they going to have a place of refuge, God? Because I'm going to be their refuge. Are y'all with me? In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have, that's a promise, a place of refuge. Look at your neighbor and say, based upon all that Pastor had said, our subject this morning is a place of refuge. Look at somebody and say, the subject this morning is a place of refuge. Tell two folk the subject with some enthusiasm. Can we give God a praise for a place of refuge? Can we shout? Can we shout hallelujah? Thank God for a place of what? Of what? I thank him for refuge. And we need it. He knows that we need it. Notice that in Proverbs 14 and 26, the proverb writer says that the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. When we as God's people truly learn how to fear him, it is going to provide or give you strong confidence. It's no way to really fear God and be weak or feeble. Come on. It's no way you can say to me that you fear God, but when you have to deal with danger and obstacles, you are a wimp in the midst of what you go through. No, something is wrong when it comes to how you fear God. Because notice that the scripture says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. When you really fear God, the way that you need to fear him, no matter what you go through, you are going to have the ability to operate with boldness. Come on, somebody. I said, you're going to have the ability to operate with boldness. Why? Because you fear the Lord. Why is it important to have boldness? Because all of us have enemies, watch this, seen and unseen, known and unknown, strong and weak. And if you're going to defeat some of the things that are determined to defeat you, then you're going to need boldness. If you're going to put certain demons to flight that have defeated folk in your family for generations, then you're going to need some boldness. Oh, it's time out for begging demons to leave. We need boldness to kick demons out. Oh, I should be getting more amens. I said, we need boldness to put demons in their proper place. Where do they belong, Pastor? Under your feet. The demon does not need to have his hand around your throat. He needs to be under your feet. But it takes boldness to defeat certain enemies. How many know I'm talking right about that? How many know there are certain enemies that you battle, even from a natural standpoint, that if you talk a good game, they'll run. If you talk a good game, they will not be willing to fight. Oh, I'm going to need some big witnesses this morning. How many have ever faced some enemies that all you had to do was just talk a good game and they didn't show up for the fight? Or if they did show up, your talking scared them real bad. You got to talking bad and bold about what you was about to do, and your enemy changed his mind about fighting you. Any of y'all ever got in a fight? Some of y'all looking like you ain't never been in a fight. Anybody ever been in a fight? Watch this. That your mouth got you out of? That your mouth won the battle? You didn't throw not one lick what you said. Oh, I got to break this down. Your antics, the way you acted, scared certain folk. Just you doing this. Had folks saying, wait a minute. Your willingness to take off your shirt. I remember back in the day, we used to try to scare folk. Because I ran with one crew at one time. We didn't really want to fight. And so you kind of tell your homeboy, look, hold me now. And you be trying to act like you want to get loose. No, let me at it, man. I'm tired of it. You're praying now. No, man, just trying to hold you back. But the last thing you wanted was for your friend to let you go or to push you in that direction. Some of you done did it without even knowing it. Trying to act like, man, if they weren't holding me back. Nobody wasn't holding you back. I've seen people want to fight bad enough that you knew not to hold certain folk. You knew not to grab certain people in a real fight or they'll turn and hit you because they recognize in you holding them, you can get them knocked out. But there are fights we've won. Come on, somebody, with our mouth. But I come to tell you there are certain battles you need boldness, not just to talk a good talk, but you need boldness to walk out what you talk. And if you have the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. We are not weak people. We are not of those who stay babies. I said we start out as babies. We start out as immature. We start out fearing things we shouldn't fear. But as you grow in God, things you used to run from, you now run to. Fights you used to avoid, you now start them. What do you mean starting fight? I'm praying for folk that they come out of what they're going through. And the devil is telling me, that ain't got nothing to do with you. The devil is a lie. That's my sister. That's my brother. And I'm warring in prayer that they get the victory. I'm taking the fight to the enemy. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But you can't do that if you don't fear the Lord. You won't have this strong confidence. And it's reading a lot of saints are weak in our day and time. Reading a whole lot of people can't go through a whole lot in the time in which we live in. You may disagree, but it's at some point to where saints are more educated in the things of God nowadays. And older saints were not as educated, but they feared God. Older saints just somehow knew God a make a way. They couldn't eat, some of them couldn't even read, but they knew they could get a prayer through. But look at today's saints. We talk, but when it comes to having that boldness, some of us simply don't have it. Not the way we need to have it. So notice he talks about in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Make no mistake about it. We need to fear God. We need to fear God. Go with me to Psalm 34. Y'all hang in here. Go with me to Psalm 34. We need to fear God. We need to fear him. Notice Psalm 34. Because some folks, it's as if they have lost the fear of God. But I'm going to show you something about the fear of God. Let me teach for a moment about the fear of God. Notice Psalm 34, verse number 11. Just flip a book back into the book of Psalms. 34, verse number 11. All right, listen and go there with me in your Bibles. Psalm 34 and 11. Look at what the psalmist said. He said, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You have to be taught to fear God. We have to be taught what it means to fear God. Notice, because he said, come, you children, and listen to me. It's good to come to church, but if you come and don't pay attention, you won't get what God intended for you to have. If you come and you let somebody distract you, you won't get what God intended for you to have. You have to come and you have to listen. Notice that the psalmist recognizes as a teacher that he has a responsibility to train the people. Feed them according to Jeremiah 3:15 with knowledge and understanding. Yes, the teacher has the responsibility of teaching, but the saints of God have the responsibility of coming. Come. Come, you children. Come. Let's gather together. Listen to be taught. Let's gather together to be taught. See, when I come up here, I'm coming to teach. I'm coming to train, to show God's people what he would have for us to know. That's what I am, a teacher. I'm coming to teach. Now, if you can discern that when I come, when I'm in this place, that I have certainly prayed and I have studied the word, then it becomes your responsibility to get what I'm teaching. Uh-oh, come on. Because I'm about to reveal a problem in the church. One of the problems is that, yes, the word is being taught, but there are people who no longer have a hunger and a thirst for the word. Can I break it down naturally? It's hard to feed somebody that ain't hungry. Well, I didn't get nothing. You didn't come hungry. You didn't come thirsting. Come on, because in Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be what? You will be what? You will be what? You'll be satisfied. But you gotta have a hunger. Nobody can feed a person who's not hungry. And sometimes in the church, we are guilty of being more hungry, having more of an appetite for the things of the world than we are the things of church. Come on. Some of us, it's difficult for us to retain a 50-minute message and be able to meet somebody and give them the scriptures, at least the initial main text, give them an introduction, give them a body of what took place, give him one minor point, one major point, then he closed with this. Some of you, it's difficult to do that. Some of you even looking at me and they're like, whoa, shoo. Ooh. That's how some folks out there looking like, golly. Give him the subject, the main text or scripture, an introductory point, a minor point, the body of the message, and the close. Come on, pastor. How? But you don't do that with your series. You don't just give folk the introductory, the main scene or plot, and the close. You do that on episode 1. You'll tell them about episode 2, 3, 4, 5, and you'll get them caught up for what's been to happen in episode 6. You do all of this because that's your show. It's quiet out there. It's quiet out there. It's some of you right now. Somebody never watched what you into. And they say, man, I never seen that. What is that about? Most of us not going to say, well, man, I really don't know what to think. No, you finna give them the main characters. Now, such and so play in it. You know, in real life, he so and so. You know, he also played in such and so, but that's a different story. Now, see, in this picture, let me tell you what he's trying to do. Now, see, his sister, low down and dirty, her name is such and such. She going to enter in. We break it down. But see, we into it. I said, we're into that. And you can get with your people at work or your family, and y'all will have your little club where you talk about what's happening, what's going on. But again, when it comes to the word, the enemy have most people tricked to the point to where he has convinced them that they can't retain it. I hear people say so often, I can't remember the scripture. I struggle remembering the scripture. Why would you confess that? Why wouldn't you confess the opposite? Why wouldn't you say, when it comes to the word, thy word, oh God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you? See, if you don't get the word in you, there's no way to operate in the word outside of the church. And most of the time, like it or not, demons are not attacking you sometimes the way they do when you're outside of the church. You know that to be true. So he says, come, don't miss it, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. But notice, this is important. Notice how he wants them to come. He wants them to come as children. Why he wants them to come as children? Because he wants them to come with two things. Listen, he wants them to come being willing, and he wants them to come being eager when it comes to learning. See, if you truly going to learn to fear God, you have to be willing, and you have to have an eagerness to learn, to hear what God is saying, especially in these last days. Let's hear what God is saying. I got something to do, but it's not more important than hearing what God has to say. See, sometime in church, you got to learn people who pay attention, and you got to learn folk who play. And then you got to come in church sometime and see the crowd that plays, wave at them, and go to another section. Because you know, them people over there, they ain't really serious. And I need to hear everything God is saying to me. Watch this. Sometimes you'll come to church with folk like that. You pulled up in the same car, but you don't have the same desire for the word. So when you get in the sanctuary, you may have to come to the front while they're hugging the back seats. And that's no offense to those in the back seat. But just like in church and in class, sometimes the back seat of any classroom setting or learning setting can be your most challenging. Because often when you're trying to pay attention, when you're in the back, you see everything. If you're on the back row, you see what folk doing on the second row. You just sitting up. What kind of gum is that she chewing? It's got to be moving because her mouth is. That's got to be some good gum she chewing. Yeah, amen. Yeah, teach, pastor. What is that? See, you see in everything. But when you start getting toward the front, you're limited in what's going on behind you unless you turn and look. This reason in school, I always grab the back seat. And it was a punishment when the teacher made me come to the front. It was one of the worst things that could happen back in the day for the teacher to say, hey, Leonard, front row right now. Remember when she did, I was talking and I wasn't paying attention, and she recognized, you, it's going to be hard to be distracted up here. Well, the only one you see is me and this blackboard. And see, some of us, it ain't like, some of you get to church kind of late, so the back seat is, you know, that you come right there. Now we got one for the babies and such, but some of you are coming, all these seats empty up front, you go right in the back. Just like it's a magnet pulling you. I'm teaching right. You have to come as children. This is so important. Do you know there are folk that go to church every Sunday, amen, the word, yet don't do the word? We don't don't want to be them folk. Come, you children, listen to me. Listen to me. Now, God would never have us to listen to folk who ain't saying nothing. So the psalmist knows what he has to say is important. And I need your attention. See, I didn't come today to tell jokes. Though some of what I say may be comical or may make you laugh from time to time. But at the same time, you'll be laughing, then I'll say something that irritates you. Come on. Why? Because it's not a comedy show. But you still need to pay attention even when the preacher is not hooping or preaching or yelling hard. You got to be able to be so in tune that you're actually saying to me, and I can feel it, Pastor, I want to be taught. I want to be taught. I came today, Pastor, to hear from the Lord. I came to hear what thus saith the Lord. And if you came like that, then you're going to pay attention. Am I right? Because notice again, don't miss it. Come, you children, listen to me. And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I am going to teach you how to fear God. But now notice in the book of Amos, you may have to break down and go to your table of contents. I want to show you something. In the book of Amos, the 8th chapter. Remember I told you I was going to have you turn into a number of scriptures. Notice the book of Amos and the 8th chapter. Keeping in mind that the psalmist was going to teach the people how to fear the Lord. Remember what we said in Matthew 5 and 6? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now look at the book of Amos and the 8th chapter. The book of Amos is 3 or 4 books in front of the book of Daniel. Notice the book of Amos and the 8th chapter. Y'all hang in here. Hang in here. Don't let me lose you. Please hang in here. Notice the book of Amos. This is important. Amos, the 8th chapter, and notice verse number 11. This is very important. You got to get to Amos 11. Even if you got to go to your table of content, go ahead and go. Because we want to just really take our time today. Amos 8, verse number 11. Watch this, what the prophet says. Behold. Now, behold is not only a word that means look or see, but behold takes on a stronger meaning in the scripture, because what the writer is actually saying is that you need to behold to the point to where you understand. This is what he's saying. Behold or understand. Now, what he's about to say, the people really need to grasp the importance of what he's about to say. That's when he starts off with, behold, or understand, watch this, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Did y'all see that? Now remember, Amos is a prophet. A prophet speaks the mind of God for the present and the future, the near and distant future. Now Amos is prophesying. Notice the wording. Again, he said, behold. Now at the time he's saying this, this isn't the case. Because then he said, the days are what? Coming. Now, when Amos said the days were coming, look at your neighbor and say, you're in that day. Or that day has came. Woo, there's some good stuff. Amos said the days are coming. He's prophesied. But now the days are. What are these days? Listen carefully and you'll be able to figure out what's going on with some people. Listen, listen. Behold, the days are coming. Now notice who says this. Says the Lord. Says the Lord God. That I will send a famine on the land. Uh-oh. So this famine, God, is of you. This famine is of you. You're going to send it. on the land. Now watch. Not a famine of bread. You've seen that. You've seen a shortage or a lack of bread. Nor a thirst of water. But watch the famine. But of hearing the words of the Lord. Does that sound like our day and time? Well, some people don't have time to hear the words of the Lord. Some people don't have an appetite for the word of the Lord. Look at young people. So many young people simply do not desire the word. Even though it is the word that's going to help them structure their life. Look how the media is training, shaping, and molding most young people. They dress the way they tell them to dress. They talk the way they tell them to talk. If they tell them to be more like a slut, then they will transform to be the slut that the housewives say they need to be. They will do whatever to be more like the Kardashians. But when it comes to the word, to being trained in the way that they should go, young people simply, not all, but most, have no desire to hear that stuff. You go to church, man, I don't do that church thing. I'll go to the club with you, but I won't go to the church with you. Ain't nothing a preacher can tell me. Come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. And you don't recognize every day, and this is all of us, that you watch television, the media. These things are not given to us for our good, though it can be beneficial. These things are given to program people. This is the truth. Now notice they take the word out. But what they replace the word with in schools is that which is evil. You can't teach them the Ten Commandments. But you can take out pronouns. You can teach them to be whatever they want to be. You can teach a little girl that if she wants to be a little boy, that's okay. You're fine. We will accept you as a boy. Even though you have breasts which are female. You got curves which are female, but you gonna force me to call you male. But when it come to hearing what thus saith the Lord, there's a famine. There's a famine. I'm not going up there because he teaches against. There's a famine. In the land, right now. Right now. That's when a lot of preachers who are popular, they sit up and tell jokes throughout the message. They begin the message with a joke, and throughout the message, it's just comical. Come on. Look at it again. So we got a quiet house this morning. All these people in here. Behold, the days are coming, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread. Nor of thirst for water. But of hearing the word. Of hearing the word. Of being in tune with God. Notice when Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, they are strong, confident. Let me give you two definitions for fear. Two definitions for fear. Number one, fear is a deep respect or reverence that is expressed in word, thought, and deed. Fear is a deep reverence or respect for God that is expressed in word, thought, and deed. So when you fear God, it will be expressed or seen in words, thoughts, and what? Deeds. Don't say you fear God, but what you say is opposite of what God says. Number two, to fear God is to receive and apply knowledge and understanding. Deacon Hill talked about it earlier. When you fear God, it is the reception and application of knowledge and understanding, which equates wisdom. Fearing God is the reception, the receiving, the application, the applying of knowledge and understanding, which equates wisdom. When you fear God the way you need to, you will receive his knowledge and understanding. Listen, even when his knowledge and his understanding goes against what you want to do, when it goes against how you want to live, what you want to do, what you want to say, you will transform because you fear him. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I say, yes, you will. Listen, you may want to curse somebody out. What stops you? Okay. But what don't stop you? A lack of vocabulary. Y'all didn't even catch that. It ain't that you don't know how to curse. You haven't forgotten the words, right? And some of you are like Sister Donna. She was a gifted cursor. Mr. Barnes says she was too. I wasn't. I didn't start cursing until I was on in school. Even then, I really didn't throw hard words. I just said a couple of the little small four words. And then quickly, when I got to the house, I made sure I told myself, boy, you are not at school. If this stuff comes out here, it will be trouble. How many know what I'm talking about? But at school, you were like, man. But you didn't let that slip out of the house. What you mean, Fred Lee, was a gift that cussed? Donna would cuss me out and made me feel this big. I knew I had been cussed out properly. I knew exactly what I meant to her. But why don't we cuss folks out today when they make us mad? We fear God. We fear God. Some of you fear him so you'll bite your lip if you have to. I'm done with this. I'm finished. That's it. But see, we fear God. Why do we not do certain things when the opportunity is there to do it? You fear God. See, when you fear God, it's bigger than your address. It's bigger than the church you go to. See, listen, I fear God on vacation. I fear God when I'm in places where my wife can't see me. And if I wanted to touch things, I could do it. So it's not her withholding me. Even though she makes her threats plain as to what she would do. If said preacher errors. But I don't withhold because I fear Donna. I withhold because I fear the God that I serve. Come on, somebody. And I don't worry about what she does because I believe she fears God. So I don't ramble through her pocketbook. I don't go through her phone. I don't snoop around. But if she ever loses the fear of God, then I need every code. every password to every email. Want social security number, everything. Why you don't fear God? I'm telling you something. This is why you see people in the church now. They are doing things that you look at them and say, have you lost? See, you never try to step over into evil thinking that you can get back to righteousness. You may die doing your evil. You may die doing your mess. You may die hitting that blunt. You may die. Your last hit of crack could actually be the last. You don't slip, tip, and dip. Age could be your destination. Age can be your final chapter. I know I'm teaching right, even though it's hard. And most of the time, that which looks good, most of the time is that which is contaminated. Everybody wants it. Everybody at it. It's not as good as it looks. And see, when you hold it, the grass will always look greener. Can I just teach it right? Sometimes the grass look green on the other side. I'm just not talking marriage. I'm talking God. The devil will paint a pretty picture. He'll make the grass look greener on the other side. It's better outside of the church. But whisper, so I say, but you know how pastor teaches. It is greener, but it's artificial. It ain't real, baby. That's fake. A lot of you lusting after stuff that's fake. That ain't real, boy. Get yourself together. You got what's real at the house. What's going on? Woo! Shout to somebody, show him right. Some of y'all ain't used to teaching like this. Shout to somebody, show him right. Look at Proverbs 1. And then when you mess up and folks see what you messed up with, they don't look at you the same. You mean you fell for? You mean you let that get you? Come on, somebody. But when you got the fear of the Lord in you, they once years ago accused a place of refuge in the early days of taking up folk W-2 forms. When Donald first joined the refuge, one of her family members said, look, you know you got to get them folk your W-2s to show them that you tithe. And Donald said, she told her ref, say, that's a lie. Say, they don't ask for that. They don't ask you for no information. Why? Because if people fear the Lord, they'll tithe. We're not going to call your job and ask, have you been working this month? Even though we know you hadn't been tithing this month. We're not going to do that. No. That's crossing the line. But if you fear God, when you work overtime, when you get bonuses, the numbers increase. Whoa, that ain't rocket science. How you not at church because you working overtime? Folk don't like to hear that. Pastor, I love this church. But y'all talk about money every Sunday. Listen, and we're going to keep talking about it. Yes, we are. We're not going to talk about dues. Because you cannot find dues in the Bible. We talk tithe. 10. Know what I love about God? Everything has went up. But God. God said, I got no need to put inflation on you. I got no need. It was 10 back then. It's 10 now. Come on. That's good. Proverbs 1 and 7. Y'all hanging in here and I'm loving you for it. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. And what? Tell your neighbor, fools don't fear God. Tell somebody, fools don't fear God. Now listen, I don't want you to say this to nobody, but listen to me. Do you remember when you was a fool? I remember when I was a fool, I had no fear of God in me. Folks used to come up to me and witness to me, and I'd be like holding my breath, waiting for them to get out of my face. You need to stop all that stuff you're doing. You living a miserable life of sin. And I used to be saying to myself, man, but I'm having a good time. Didn't have no fear of God. I mean, I had a little bit. I had enough that if I was blasting my music and I started going by a real church, I had enough fear to turn the music down. Come on, y'all. Y'all need to give me a little credit. I just wasn't no pure devil. I had been taught. And you turn the music down. How many of you used to do that? And then as soon as you got past that church, what happened? Clank! You right back in your zone. But see, what I want you to see, fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, there's somebody, God sent you to this church to give you knowledge and understanding. But if you a fool, you're going to leave here despising what I said. You're going to leave here hating what I said. And you could possibly leave here hating me. Proverbs 8. I had a woman come to the church one time. She visited the church. And she sent me a message through somebody. This was years ago. She said, you let that pastor know that I came up there, this is her exact word, to join that little church. But when he got to preaching against homosexuality, you let him know I'd never step a foot back in that church. And she left early that day. Didn't even hear the rest of the message. If she would have, she would have heard that we treat folk, you got to love everybody, but you don't love the sin that folk commit. I don't preach every Sunday against homosexuality. Y'all know that. But if God lead me to preach it, I will not hold back because it may offend you. Because one of your children caught up, because your aunt caught up, because your I will not hold back if my family member is caught up. Because I'm a preacher of righteousness. Proverbs 8. I'm in the close. How much more can y'all handle? Somebody said a lot more. Now somebody told you, they said, Pastor, a little bit. Proverbs 8 and 13. This good teaching. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 18, 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to what? To what? Listen, I love my country. Hey, it's military folk didn't even clap. I love my country. But I don't love the evil that my country do sometimes. Listen, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to offend nobody when I say this. But if y'all get a bus back to Africa, don't even call me. Don't even call me. We need to let pass know. No, you don't. No, I ain't been. Ain't no going back. I'm 100% American. That may offend somebody. I love my country. But I don't love the evil that my country do sometimes. I love my kinfolk. But I don't love the evil that they do sometimes. Come on, somebody. See, this is how you have to be when you fear the Lord. You let folk know, look, just like God love everybody, I'm of God. I love everybody. But God don't love sin. Come on, I'm in the clothes. God don't love sin. He loves the sinner, but not the sin that the sinner commits. Now, how am I of God and I love evil? No, you have to let your kin people know that sometime. Because when you tell them don't do certain stuff, they'll have a problem with you. But you got to recognize, look, I love you, Aunt. You know I love you. But you're not going to smoke that cigarette in my yard. Now, you're going to put that out. I know when I have events at the house, my neighbor be wondering, why they smoke in the road? They know where to take it. You're not going to drink no beer at my house. Hold on. If I don't drink at my house. Woo, it's touchy. That's touchy. I might better. Go to Proverbs 14. I need to close this thing. Woo. The fear of the Lord is to hate what?
Evil.
See, when you got a love for evil, something wrong with how you fear God. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Even we learn to hate, listen, stuff we used to do. Oh, who you think you is? You think you better? You think you better than me? You used to be a gambler. But now what I used to love, because I fear God, I now hate it. I realize what it does. Come on, you can't be ashamed that you fear God. God, I just know I need to go. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Because some of y'all just come let folk take over your house. That's how some of y'all look at me like, pastor, when they come, they're just doing it. Even parents. Parents with young adults and children and still at home. You should be deciding what goes on there. You hear a parent to my, I don't know what they doing in that room. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Open the door and see. You can be polite, but then you can be like me when you come a time where, look, I've been trying to be polite. Now I'm laying down a new rule. Since y'all didn't follow the old rule. Nobody shuts and locks doors. New sheriff in town. My children will tell you, they used to come home sometimes, and I have stapled to their door rules. Rules. Shermont, take that trash out! Exclamation point. Help me in this yard! 2 exclamation points!
Come on.
It didn't win me no awards with them. Times they thought I was loop-de-loop. But I told them like this. I said, if we don't take care of what God gave us here, He will not move us to what we're trying to do. And it's a team thing. Everybody get on board. Be good stewards so God can give us. We crowded. We on top of each other. We trying to get you off each other. But you got to be faithful to get your own room. Children don't always like sharing. But you got to tell them, be faithful over what's least. And watch God bless mama to do much. Got a quote. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of what?
Refuge.
Tell neighbor, when you fear the Lord, you have strong confidence. But tell them according to Hebrews 10:35, your confidence will be tested. That's when the Hebrew writer said, cast not away. Therefore, your I'm closing. Which has great reward. Which has great what?
Reward.
Tell your neighbor, when you get to operating
with strong confidence,
knowing God gonna do it,
knowing
he gonna make it good,
knowing
that it's gonna happen. Tell your neighbor,
something coming
to test,
to try
your confidence.
Come on, musician,
tell somebody
something's coming.
Something's
happening right now,
and
it's testing your
confidence.
How far
somebody say
it's going on right now?
It's happening right now.
Y'all
ready to help me
close?
Look at somebody
and preach it to them
and say something
happening right now.
Tell them
something going on
with you.
Tell
them, and it's testing
your
confidence.
But
look at them and
shout, hold on.
Shout
to them, hold on.
Because
he that will come
shall
come,
and
he will
not
tarry.
Tell your
neighbor, it might
got delayed,
but
it wasn't
denied.
So
tell them, don't
just get
ready,
but
stay ready.
Your
reward
is
at hand.
Shout to
somebody, my
reward
is
at hand.
Tell
your neighbor,
neighbor,
this
is
my
due
season.
Tell
your neighbor,
in
due season,
you
gotta
push
the
miracle out.
You
gotta push
till
you get the
heart desire.
You
gotta push
till
you feel
better.
You
gotta push
until
you get
peace.
You're
in the delivery
room.
It
ain't easy,
but you
gotta push.
If
you're gonna
drive it,
you
gotta push.
If
you're gonna
live in it,
you
gotta push.
If
you're gonna
walk it out,
look at
three people and
tell them,
push, push,
push.
I'm
trying to
close.
But
look at
someone and say,
how bad
do
you want
it?
Tell
your neighbor,
when a woman
is
in labor,
she
had pain,
but
she know
her
hour
is near.
And
tell your
neighbor,
when the
baby come,
she's
so
happy,
she
forget
about
all
the pain.
God
told me to
tell you,
this
blessing
is going
to cause you
to forget
all
the pain,
all
you had
to go
through.
This
blessing
going to
have you
praising
me.
This
blessing
going to
have you
turning in
victory.
Give
God
a 60-second
praise.
Come on.
Somebody better
go ahead
right now.
Break
out in a
victory
praise.
Give
him the
praise.
What
y'all say
about miracle?
What
y'all say
about
miracle?
What
you say
about
miracles?
What
you say
about
blessings?
What
y'all say
about
better?
What
you say
about
bigger?
What
you say?
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 Is
it gonna
happen?
Is it gonna
happen?
Will
you have
it?
Will
you do
it?
Will
you
accomplish
it?
What
you
say?
What
you say?
What you
tell
the devil?
What
you
tell
demons?
What
you tell
them?
Why
they
happy
like
that?
God
is
our refuge. Listen, he said, and his children shall have a place of refuge. A place, listen, where you can come and be delivered. You can come and be protected. You can come and prosper. Where at? A place of refuge. Despite trials, despite current events, God said, my children shall have a place of refuge because I want them to be delivered. I want them to be protected and I want them to prosper. Some of you are fleeing enemies. You're fleeing situations. And God is bringing you to refuge. Listen, you got to know why. You got to know the why behind. Why this place, God? Why this church? This is refuge. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be protected. And you're going to prosper right here. Did you hear talking about blossoming? Any farmer will tell you, you ain't going to blossom if it ain't good soil. But if God can get you in good soil, and he can get you to be still, no matter how good the plant is, it cannot grow if you're always moving it. If you're never decisive on where you're going to plant it. You put it here, but it don't look good. And somehow you take it up, and then you put it here. Then you put it here. It will never gain root. It will never catch on. And that's important. That's important. Because when you're planted in the right place, because God is our refuge, you're going to grow up. You're going to come up. But this is what I love. God often allows you to come up right before people. Right before people. This has been Pastor Leonard Cochran here from a place of refuge. Thank you for joining us. Jesus is our refuge.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.